This episode of the View from the Rock podcast is brought to you by Signdog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. This episode is also brought to you by Merle Inc. They're the premier custom home builder in the Klee Elum area and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia Resort and Tumble Creek. Welcome to the View from the Rock podcast. I'm your host, Ruck, here in the Yellow Dog Studios. We're here with Papa Swappa and J-Morg. How are we doing, fellas?
Doing great. It's been a while. It's been a while. How long has it been?
Is it like 3 months?
No.
Two?
Maybe you're, 9 weeks.
You're the math guy. Come on.
Well, we'll find out in just a little bit when we go through back to the midget wrestling episode.
I don't even know if I know how to do a podcast anymore.
Well, you're off to a good start, I assume, unless it's not recording.
Well, no one's going to find that out, huh?
We've got a lot of feedback
that
we need to get back in the game. And, you know, it's been hard with two really high-end professional spring coaches.
Yep.
Because right now my time is...
You've got a lot of time. It. Yeah.
Well, but I mean...
It's hard.
Basketball was a busy time
it
for
was.
You. So
yeah.
That start of spring sports is brutal and end of winter sports is brutal. And
I think we were the end of February.
That sounds about right. I think we were, did we record right before state basketball or right before district basketball?
I think it was like February 4th, something like that.
Oh yeah. My gosh. It's been a while. I think The last episode we had might've been worst sports announcers.
Correct.
Yeah.
That seems like a long time ago.
It was before the Super Bowl.
Oh, was it before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we had a Super Bowl preview. I looked at my notes.
Oh, my gosh. It's been a long time.
It feels amazing to get back on air.
It does. The sun's out. You know, the last time we were here, it was cold, wintry, and outside it's beautiful. At least two members of the podcast right now are wearing shorts. It's 60 degrees outside. And it feels like 64.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say, I don't think we'd be back here in the Yellow Dog Studios if it wasn't for all of our fans and loyal listeners, friends, who continue to bother us and be like, hey, are you going to ever record a podcast? Because people actually miss it. So, you know, if you're listening to this, just want to say thank you. It would have been pretty easy. I think we can all say pretty easy to not record a podcast, but... you guys wanted this, so you got it.
We set a date, and we were firm. And, you know, last week we were going to do one maybe.
Yeah.
And then it passed.
But this one we actually texted each other and committed to a time.
I mean, there was a few people at the track meet this week, Cameron Hunt and others.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at my phone, and I don't see any purple View from the Rock.
That's what people are saying dings. Is they look on
they
their,
must get notifications.
I think if you subscribe... you get a notification.
Yeah. And of course, Tara and Mithin and had a nice talk with, we'll talk later about our little sports betting episode. Guy Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
At your baseball game.
Well, speaking of sports betting, we've got kind of a situation here locally, don't
we?
A
conundrum.
Oh, nice word from the math guy.
Wow.
Didn't expect that. Right before the Final Four.
Come on, Ruck.
Right before the Final Four, and then also last night, we had a big UFC night, so two big, big sports book events, and I think our casino has been cyber attacked.
They've been bamboozled.
So there's no...
Friday, it's been 9 days?
Yeah, and it's just crickets out there. Like, you drive past the casino, and it's like it's a wasteland. There's no cars. Nobody can stay at the hotel, I don't think.
So you can.
You can?
But there's no amenities.
What about the RV park?
Yes.
You can stay there?
Do you know for a fact that people can stay there? I thought people couldn't.
Well,
I thought in their
to
news
my,
release.
Oh, well, maybe it's different. Someone said that you can stay there, but why would you, though? There's no restaurants.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's no... I mean, why do people stay there? Do they stay there to gamble?
Yes.
So,
and there's no gambling.
Correct.
So what is going on? I mean, it sounds like it's a cyber attack.
According to my sources.
Anonymous sources.
Well, the news release said it was a cyber attack.
But I think that they're not gonna quit the attack until they get the money, like a ransom.
Like a ransom.
And so I guess there's insurance provided where they actually give out the money.
Really?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that someone probably was answering their emails at work at the casino, and they thought that they won $100,000 from some African king who was giving money away, and they clicked on the email, and it popped up and sent some sort of...
If that's how that works...
then we're all in trouble.
But I heard people were like, slot machines were just ding, 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 ding.
Really?
Wait, when it happened? And then they were like, hey, everyone got to go.
No, they're like, we got to shut this down.
Like people were winning?
Yes. And so they have to pay all them out.
Well, I mean, what I was wondering is if people had some bets at the sports book, are they...
They're still good because the sports book is... You can hold on to your sheets for up to a year.
And so some people haven't collected on things they've won.
Correct. But you think about the day before the Final Four.
Yeah.
How many people, how much money they would make that weekend. In 9 days, I mean, they've probably lost $2 million.
Yeah.
Someone told me at one point that on the weekends, they make about $2 to $3 million a day.
There's a lot of money going through the local casino.
Yeah. I mean, look at all those people that are just on the slots. So I visited my sister yesterday, and we went to the Muck.
Oh, yeah.
And
Muckleshoot.
In Muckleshoot, and they've remodeled. They have a hotel now, and they live like 15 minutes from there.
From the Muckleshoot?
Yeah. And they're like, you want to go? And we're like, yeah. So we went.
I saw Marcus Trufant once at the Muckleshoot.
It was the worst blackjack I've had in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the worst that you played or the experience?
Just get a nice 19, dealer gets a 5-card 21. You know, yeah. Just kept going.
The luck didn't break.
And then Kelly comes back like 10 minutes later. I'm like, what's up? She's like, oh, my money's gone.
Does she play slots?
Twice a year. Yes. So...
Now,
her $70 lasted 10 minutes.
So I haven't been to the Muckleshoot in 20 years. Is it non-smoking?
Both. They have a smoking area and a non-smoking. Because it's bigger than the Swin.
Yeah, Muckleshoot's big.
But I love having... Now they have a venue for concerts.
Do they really?
Keith Sweat is coming this week.
Oh, hell yes.
Kelly wanted to go.
Yeah, I think it's sitting in her wheelhouse right there.
Sounds like a country music star. What is he?
We'll just leave it at that.
He plays country music?
No. Keith Sweat is like an R&B.
Not country.
Early 90s.
Kelly's into like the super mellow R&B stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Keith, like you need to rock. All of our followers right now are laughing when they hear, is Keith Sweat a country guy?
Oh, so like people know who this is.
Yeah.
If well, there's a lot of country
guys. If you're older than 37.
Yeah.
That's not my fault then.
No.
You know, I don't think that we actually said at all what our episode is going to be about today. We'll blame that on the rest. Today, we're going to make sure that we have time for Morgie's Midget Minute. We are going to talk about a musical genre, music from 1983, which allegedly was a great year for music. We have a beer of the week from Backcountry Brewing, and we have our top three best sports moments. What do we need to talk about now? We got some shout outs. Did we get those shout outs in?
I think we did. Okay. Just everyone that's been listening and asking, we're back.
We're back, baby.
I think we'll be able to go through a few here after Memorial Day.
Okay. And I think people are going to be happy that we're doing this on a Sunday because... That'll give them something to do at work on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
While they're answering their email.
Yeah. Not answer anyone from that say you want $1 million.
Do we need to... We don't have this down here. You know, any sort of updates or recaps on sports in the local area?
Well, basketball at state
went 1-2.
So we finished in the top 8 in state,
which is a great year.
That's
a good year
framing of it.
Yeah,
top eight.
That's good.
Top 8. You go to Yakima. You get 3 games in Yakima, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great year. We went to a brewery while we were there in Sela.
Oh.
Jason's looking at you like that yes. part of his brain is gone.
That was so long ago.
It's so long ago. We gave him a podcast sticker.
Yeah. And they gave us, we sampled everything they had.
Do you remember the name of the brewery?
Outskirts.
Yes. And so their brewer gave us a tour and then.
AJ.
Yep. And all like a flight.
Yeah.
For free.
You know that we just need to send a mass amount of emails out to people that are brewers, and they'll probably just invite us there to record or something.
We can. So I have his card.
Yeah.
And I'm going to email him, and we can do a live podcast from there.
And if any of our listeners are in the Yakima, greater Yakima area, Outskirts in Sela is a place to go. If you live there, you probably know. But if you're driving east on, what is it, 84, 82?
82.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's right off the exit.
It's right off the exit. It is a great spot.
And they have outdoor, like they'll have outdoor stuff. They have live music.
They have an outdoor bar area, concerts in the summer.
We had a parent team gathering where we had quite a few parents.
I bet we had 25, 30 people.
So Sela is its own separate town. It is not Yakima, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
It's just north of Yakima.
I mean, that's probably one of the selling points on Sela is that it's not Yakima, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Well, doesn't you have family that live there?
I have family in Sela. Oh. Yeah. My cousin lives there. My aunt lives there. And they actually recommended Outskirts. But then we, on the night we got there, we went to, was it Single Hill?
Single Hill. And
we've had some of their stuff, right?
Yeah, and yeah. We're standing in line.
Talking to a guy.
Yeah, and he goes, well, why don't you try this brewery?
It was the brewer.
Yeah.
So we went there the next day.
And he couldn't believe it. He's like, and so we met and talked, and he knows all the breweries that we mentioned on the west side. He lived over here.
Yeah. Nice. But that place was great. Good food. I could see that in the summer just being a place where you could spend some time.
Yeah.
And what was the name of that place again?
Outskirts.
Outskirts. Okay.
Because it's right on the outskirts of Yakima.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Baseball season? How's baseball going?
It's going well. We're 11-3.
I think I just saw today that in the RPI rankings, you guys are... Top 5? Top 6?
I think we're 6 right now in RPI. So, I mean,
in the state.
Yeah. We're right where we need to be.
And Linden is 2 or 3?
They are, but they lost a game the other night, and they haven't reported the score yet.
Who'd they lose to?
They lost to Bellingham.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
They did. I know. That was my reaction,
Big
too.
Big Red?
Yes.
The Bayhawks.
The Bayhawks.
Are
formerly the Red Raiders.
Why would they not report it? Are they embarrassed?
Well, there's a complicated... reporting of score system that involves the umpires having to go into the way that they are scheduled through a site called Arbiter, and they actually have to report the score. So I don't know why. Games are never not reported. But this one hasn't been reported. So long story short, they're going to drop a little bit in the RPI.
Because they were number one.
They were number one, and they've been having
and
a great year.
Did I see Othello?
Othello.
Yeah. What?
So I have a friend, a guy I played with at Skagit from Othello.
And they're number one.
Jerry Seibel.
Ooh.
I haven't talked to him in 29 years.
Now, I believe somebody might need to fact check this. I believe Othello is the Huskies.
Their mascot?
Yeah.
And that's on your way kind of to Pullman.
Yeah. When you're going to Eastern Washington, you take that
the right at Vantage.
Yes.
Instead of the left up the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Othello Huskies, and they have what looks like the exact same Husky mascot as UW.
Are they purple? I've never played Othello.
That's fascinating, considering they're an East Side team, that they would look like UW. Another fun fact, your first grade teacher, that was the first place she got a job teaching.
I'll be darned. Othello.
Yep.
Who?
So, may not know this, but...
Mrs. Ruckdashel.
Mrs. Ruckdashel, my mother, was Pat Swap's first grade teacher. Also may not know this, but...
She was my librarian.
Okay. My dad's first grade teacher was Pat Swap's grandmother.
Mrs. Swap.
Wow.
Yeah. She taught for 50 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm on 27 right now.
Imagine, I think Chuck Starkovich went 40-something years. Imagine doing another 20 years.
You're on 27.
I'm going to barely make it another 10.
I've only done 10. This is my 11th, so I can't imagine.
You have another 20.
I would think I've got another 20 at least.
We're going to have.
What do you think public education is going to look like in 15 years?
Well, do you remember COVID when all of a sudden we were all the digital platforms that, you know, old timers like us have been putting off trying to figure out, and all of a sudden it was like.
It was live, baby. Yeah.
Man, Ruck's just loving it.
I loved it. It was so good.
He got extra pay, I think.
I did, but it was not worth it. As soon as I could stop getting that pay, I did.
Were you getting extra pay for being like a tech coach?
Yeah, and it was...
For us?
It was thankless. It was terrible.
Did I ever call you and ask for help?
Probably.
I probably did.
I think we might have done a Zoom.
That was the greatest 2 years to teach PE.
Oh.
If I was still math, it would have been a little harder.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. That was a great 2 years to teach PE.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought it was a great 2 years to teach English and history. I was making YouTube videos. I think I've got over 100 YouTube videos after all of that. That was fantastic. Your son was in my class at that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
What else we got?
How about track?
Yeah, we're
How's track looking?
You know, track... I don't know what the timeline quite is for baseball, but with track, we're starting to wind down. We're getting close to postseason for us. We've got a giant meet, super high end meet coming up here next Saturday. That's our next meet. And then after that, we have the Skagit County Championships, which is the longest running meet or competition in the state. I think it's been going for, oh boy. I think it's over 100 years.
119.
Is that what, 119?
I think I saw that.
Huh. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it's like the Lehigh and Lafayette of Washington State track.
Yep.
So it's going to be at Mount Vernon?
Yeah, Mount Vernon. And so we were just there Wednesday. They have a nice facility. They've looks like they've redone the track. Some of the throwing events and field events are kind of spread out a little bit.
Because they throw the javelin. Onto
the baseball field.
The baseball field.
So they're throwing javelin during the C team game.
Yeah, at the start of it, they were.
Yeah, it was fun. It was weird.
Yeah,
because that's right by the high jump pit, and then shot puts on the other side, on the south side,
by the tennis courts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, there's going to be some people who will not be in either one of those meets because we're limited as a team. A certain number of entries.
Even for Skagit County?
For Skagit County, you're even limited 6 per event. And some events, we've got 12 kids in. So if it happens that they're outside of the top 6 and some multiple events, they might not be in, which leaves them, some people only have 1 meet left.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then for baseball, we have 2 weeks left of games. And then we're into the postseason.
Really already?
Yeah. Oh, wow. But the postseason
it
can
lasts
go,
forever.
The postseason can go a month.
Yeah.
Wow. So your postseason actually starts before us, but yeah. It's only like a week before us. Week before. Yeah. So, you know, we're at that time of the year where it's a bit of a grind. Like some people are going to practice for 10 days without any sort of competition. But. Thankfully, the weather is nice now. Hopefully, it stays nice.
Oh, how about that one home meet we had?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
For about an hour.
Our only home meet of the year was lightninged out. Yeah. Had a lightning delay for half hour. And
I haven't seen rain that hard in a long time.
It was almost biblical.
But yeah. I mean, you see it, but you don't just get to actually stand in it the entire time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You were doing the javelin when that was happening.
Once. Yeah.
Yeah.
And had a little plastic sheet over the scores.
That I was up in the booth and people were bringing the sheets up and I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know what any of this says. So it was a good thing that we canceled it. Unfortunately, no, that means no home meet really this year.
Next year, we're hosting the county meet.
Supposed to, yeah.
Can we do that at our facility?
We've got a timing system currently that doesn't really work, but we are working on fixing that, and I think that we will have it fixed by next year.
I'm just very impressed as a non-track person who now has a child doing track. I'm impressed with the logistical effort that goes into a track meet.
The track meet is painful.
It's a grind.
There's minimal coaching of your own athletes involved during a home track meet. So it's sort of like your gift to the other track coaches that they can come there and just coach their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's partly why Skagit County then hosting that track meet, the Skagit County Championships, is a little bit daunting.
See, I didn't know they rotated. I thought it was always at Burlington for some reason. Or
for a while, I think it was there because other schools were not able to get it together.
So let me ask you this. Since it is the Skagit County meet, does every county school go?
So I'll say for a while, every Skagit County meet or team did go. At this point, I don't know that Concrete has a team anymore. They used to. But like, for example, I don't believe had anyone at cross country this year for the Skagit County track meet.
LeConnor has a team, obviously.
Yep.
Does Mount Vernon Christian have track?
They do.
So do they go?
Yep. Yeah.
The Hurricanes.
Yeah. They have a proud history of track at Mount Vernon Christian. And then, of course, you know, Cedro, Burlington, Mount Vernon. Yeah.
Then it's probably awesome, too, to have, like, the county record in something.
Absolutely. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really actually... The Skagit County Championships are kind of a big deal for all the county teams. Even though it doesn't mean anything, it really actually means quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those first opportunities where it's a multi-day meet. It's on a Wednesday and a Friday. And I think we even have pole vault maybe on a Thursday. So it's like 3 days. And that's more of what it ends up being in postseason for us, multi-day meets. And so you really get the feel of like competition and we're trying to win.
And you have prelims, right?
Yeah.
For certain events or?
Yeah. Wednesday we'll have some prelims for like the 100, the 200. I don't know beyond that. I'm normally just focused on the throws. So I'm not sure exactly.
Are the throws both days or are they just one day?
We split up the throws on Wednesday and Friday. So
some throws are Wednesday and some throws are Friday.
Yeah. So it'll probably be, like say for example, boys javelin, girls discus, and boys shot put on Wednesday, and then it will switch.
Hopefully, Friday. They throw on a day when there's not a baseball game.
That would be some good planning.
Yeah.
One
can. Well, it's already decided, so you don't know. So you'll find out here in a week.
I guess so.
If you can go or not.
Yeah.
Hey, I think that's, you know.
Are we
nice
ready?
Little sports recap.
Ready for?
Can you give us a recap of your sports that you've been into, Morgie? Like maybe your Morgie's midget minute.
Well, it's been 2.5 months, and the last time we were together was the second to last episode.
Can you remind
of Big
us
Little Brawlers
and our listeners?
Yes.
What was happening?
So we were at a point where they were training for Microfest, which is this. It's like the WWE WrestleMania of midget wrestling.
Which that also just happened recently.
Correct.
Too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe you can tie in a little recap of that too for us.
Microfest?
Microfest is the name of the end of the Big Little Brawlers finale.
Do you think they find that offensive?
I don't know. I didn't think about it.
I think it's got to be better than Midget Fest. And there might be some other people that show up to that on accident.
Macro?
Well, macro would be the opposite.
So, remember the characters?
I remember
Psycho.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a Pink Chocolate.
Pink Chocolate. So Psycho and Pink Chocolate are boyfriend or their boyfriend, girlfriend. They share a daughter. They're not married. And so there's a little drama because there's a road show that he said he was going on. And mm-hmm. Pink Chocolate wasn't allowed to go. So they almost broke up, kind of, but didn't. And then he left the road show and came back to train with Microfest. And they're going to wrestle each other. And then he proposed.
Wait, oh, really? Yes. Psycho and Pink Chocolate were going to wrestle each other.
No, they are. They did in the finale.
Oh.
Like for real?
Yes. And so, and then you have Hot Rod. And then the little show, the Redneck Brawler.
And what's the Andre the Giant guy called?
Andrew the Giant. Oh. And so he had a competition to try and lose a bunch of weight to try and make it to Microfest. So he had to lose 30 pounds in 2.5 months.
Because he was too heavy?
Correct.
Do they have weight limitations?
No, but he's way heavy. He's 4'7", about 320.
So just for his own health.
Yeah, and they were seeing if he could. And so he gets on the scale the day of the weigh-in. He lost 1 pound. And everyone's laughing at him and like, oh, come on, man. He's so, like, oh, maybe next year.
I imagine that with his proportions, because you got down here 4'7", 320, he's got to look sort of like a dead ringer for an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, yeah. Just way bigger.
Just giant.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
So then it ended up, Microfest went well.
Okay.
The Lil Show and Hot Rod had a finale. That's like the main event. And it was pretty cool. And then you remember Ivor the Micro, who drives the little mini Jeep.
Yeah.
He got his wish and he got in the ring for like 30 seconds.
And that was the guy that had a physical ailment of some
yes,
sort.
Yes, and he's got like brittle bone.
Yeah.
So like even if he like falls wrong, he can break bones. So he got in the ring and all these people have regular size girlfriends or wives.
Except for Psycho.
Except for Psycho.
Because he's with Pink Chocolate.
Yes.
Oh my god!
It was the finale. I was hoping we would have a podcast like the next day.
Yeah,
but yeah, I had to look back at my notes and kind of go look on the recap of the finale. It was 9 weeks.
So I was telling you today about the book I started this morning. So a guy getting sidetracked here a little bit, but I read a book over COVID where. And I'll bring this back full circle here. But I read a book over COVID where a guy, it was called The Wax Pack. A guy opened an old pack of baseball cards and then wrote a chapter on each guy in the pack of baseball cards and where they are now. And it was fascinating.
Wow.
So
and
he visited them. He visited them. Yeah.
Oh.
Like interviewed them and hung out with them. It was really cool. And he has a new book out and he is basically doing the same thing for WrestleMania guys.
Wow.
So and the first chapter is the Iron Sheik?
Yeah, the first chapter is on the Iron Sheik.
So he actually then opened up a wrestling pack and did it this way? Or
no,
just chose guys?
Yeah, didn't do the pack thing, but just chose wrestlers. So first chapter was him visiting the Iron Sheik.
What's it called?
It's called the Six Pack, I believe.
Six wrestlers?
I don't know. I'm only a chapter in. I believe it is called the Six Pack.
You read a lot, Swap.
I do read a lot.
You put me to shame.
Well.
Jason, do you read a lot?
The most I've ever read was during COVID.
When you read, what do you read?
It has to be nonfiction.
So like true stuff.
Correct. Yeah. So like we did a book club.
We did over COVID.
Swap and I and Dunham and...
Sign Dog.
And didn't Thailand...
Yeah, and my dad.
Yeah.
So they probably
and then we zoomed.
Yeah.
You probably need a lot of like pictures in those books and things like
that. No. We read, but Jesus. It was cool. We read a lot of coaching books.
I'm going to jump over this table right here and micro you.
So I just opened my Kindle on my phone and it is the six pack, but it also reminds me that I also just bought a new biography on the Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to be getting caught up on wrestling.
So we read sports books and like coaching and motivational stuff.
Nice.
I was a big Krakauer fan. So like, okay.
Is that John Krakauer?
Yeah, Into Good. Thin Air and those, you know.
Into the Wild.
20, that, and heaven. That's been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember we used to have my old school in Oregon, an entire 3 days a week SSR. Everybody.
Yeah.
All day long?
The first 30 minutes of every day.
So in Oak Harbor, when I taught there, we did that every day. First 30 minutes of the day.
The entire school. And even admin and everyone.
Nice.
So that's when I started reading. I'd get to a point where I would just be reading and then the bell would ring.
Yeah.
And your kids have just been crawling under the tables the
probably.
Whole time.
Yes. And my classroom was an old shop room. So it's like a dungeon.
Oh, nice. You were teaching math, though, probably, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to move on to our musical genre of the week?
I think we are.
So, Jason, can you tell me a little bit about how we came up with this musical genre, this music from 1983?
So I get a text from Swap that says music from 1983.
And
that was it. So I'm starting, the wheels are spinning in my head like, okay, what's the significance of this? I'm like, no, Ruck's not born yet.
So here's what happened.
Not even close.
I'm on the baseball bus and trying to think of content for this podcast. And you know how you're driving up to Bellingham and it's all bumpy?
Yep.
So we're on the bumpy right lane on I-5 up to Bellingham. And I thought, well, I'm going to go year Morgy graduated for music, 1993. So I send it, but I accidentally hit 83. So it was supposed to be 93.
But then today, and when I was looking at 1983 music, some people say it's one of the greatest years in music history.
It was like it was meant to be. It was serendipitous. Yeah.
So it was a happy little accident.
Yeah.
So found out that CDs just started in 83. Oh, so wow. We could buy a CD for the first time in 1983, and it basically killed vinyl.
Well, yeah. I mean, does that mean that at that point you had the Walkman?
Probably.
That had the CD in it, portable CD player?
Well, do you remember the Walkman with the cassette tape?
Yeah.
And the foam earphones?
Yep.
Those.
I had that.
That's why I think the kids wear the AirPods now.
Yeah.
I want a foam earphone.
So I actually have.
I have some.
I have
do
this.
You?
Yeah.
I got rid of the AirPods.
Yeah.
Because they'd fall out when I was in the gym.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so now I have like headphones, wireless.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Big time. you know, now that I think about it, I bet CDs were not portable at that moment because if they just were starting to sell them and they're coming out, they wouldn't. Do you guys remember because that would have been early days in CDs. Eventually when they had the portable CD player, you could get the anti-skip. Remember what that was called?
Well, do you remember cars when you had your CD player in your car and if you went over a bump?
Yeah, it would skip.
It would skip. You'd be like right in the middle of like Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
And then you'd hit a bump and you'd be on to like the worst
song. Welcome to
the
jungle.
Yes.
I feel like they had a funny name for the anti-skip feature. I gotta look that up.
So I'll start. I went down this rabbit hole and I'm like, holy crap.
It's an amazing year.
Amazing year.
Amazing.
I mean, for me, everyone's going to say, well, Michael Jackson Thriller came out. Top selling album of all time. 65 million copies sold worldwide.
Wow.
And then we also had MTV.
Oh.
Which was just starting.
I miss MTV.
I do too.
It doesn't exist.
It does.
Just not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
I know we talked about this at one point.
But. Yeah, we did. We did.
But think about Thriller. Everyone knows Thriller. Everyone knows Beat It, Thriller.
Swap. Is there one on that list?
I'm looking right now at the Rolling Stone Top 100 from that year.
Okay.
And it's do you guys remember 99 Luftballons?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, 99 Red Balloons. Same thing, but one's the German version.
I mean, it's just,
That was in 83.
Yeah, and that was, do you remember She Blinded Me with Science?
I don't remember that one. Oh, my. Is that the same? Who sang that?
Who sang She Blinded Me with Science?
But the 99 Luftballons.
That was Nina, 99 Luftballons, Nina. And She Blinded Me with Science. I never would have got Thomas Dolby.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a year.
Well, I think a couple more, but like Def Leppard, Pyromania.
Yeah.
That was the first time where I was like, Rock of Ages, Photograph, and Foolin'.
There's a student that every now and then will wear that album cover.
The triangle.
Yeah. It's sweet.
Yeah.
A lot of those vintage shirts now
are coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll ask a kid at school, they're wearing Pyromania, and I'm like, you like Def Leppard? And they're like, they don't even know what I'm talking about.
The student that wears these, I won't say their name, but they can answer. They know songs on these albums, and their dad gets them these shirts. It's pretty cool. The one that I noticed on the list that stands out to me because I love this band, and I really want to see them this summer, I think it's end of July they play, it's Metallica. So their album was Kill 'Em All.
Kill 'Em All.
Do you have tickets?
No. Let's get them.
We should go.
Well, is it? I think it's in August.
I think the last Metallica concert I went to, you were at, but we were not together.
1994?
Yeah, it was so hot.
Yes.
It was. Kill 'Em All had Hit the Lights, Motor Breath, No Remorse, Whiplash, Jump in the Fire, The Four Horsemen. It is...
I feel like their debut album.
For a lot of... I don't know if you would call them thrash. What would you call them? Like, they're not thrash, but like they're heavy metal.
They're just
that
metal.
Think about the year, like those early years.
Yeah.
They just got rid of Mustaine. And Kirk Hammett came. Then Mustaine formed Megadeth.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
A lot of those like heavy metal bands, I don't know if I can listen through an album for them, like all the way through. Like, I've got some favorite songs. That album, I can listen through. Just nonstop.
Well, I was telling Ty yesterday, my son, that I was listening to Metallica in middle school. That's how old they are.
I know.
Like 83?
Yeah.
I was 12. That was 40 years ago. That's amazing.
I know.
Really, the band has stayed together for the most part. They've had very little turnover. Cliff Burton died, so they're on their third bassist.
When did Jason Newsted get kicked out, or did he leave?
I think he left because he wanted to start kind of doing his solo stuff, or maybe his solo stuff was kind of a distraction.
Like maybe 15 years ago?
And then the new bassist is Trujillo.
Yeah, and he played with Ozzy.
Yeah, and he's good.
Wasn't the Jason Newsted thing kind of documented in the documentary The Monster and Me? Because when they go on that hiatus because the lead singer...
James
Hatfield checks into rehab, and at that point they hadn't recorded anything for a while, and he's just sort of like, all right, dudes, like, I'm out, like, I'm gonna go do other stuff. And then they show them go into the concert, and the guy was just sort of like, hey, and then didn't talk to him. And they're like, Kirk, the drummer
Lars
was just like, whatever, screw that guy, I'm done with him, like, he has a blow up.
I think Lars is difficult.
I think Lars is very difficult.
So one of the coolest things ever was I went to Metallica night at the San Francisco Giants ballpark.
Maybe with Ross.
With Ross, maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
That's big.
And we hung out after the game. Ross is really good friends with a guy that was working for the Giants at the time. So we hung out after the game, waited for the crowd to thin out, went into the team store. Team store was closed, but he was able to get us in. The only other person in the team store... was Lars.
And you guys?
Yes.
Is he like 5'7"?
Yeah. And his girlfriend or wife is like 6'1".
So he was married to... She was in movies.
Narrows it down.
Yeah. Man. So what other what else we got from that year?
So the Police, Synchronicity.
Yeah, and that's their biggest album, right?
It had like Every Breath You Take, King of Pain, Synchronicity 1 and 2. Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil.
Oh,
I saw that. I love Motley Crue.
Dio, Holy Diver.
Quiet Riot, Mental Health. So you have Come On, Feel the Noise, Bang Your Head.
Do you remember the video for that?
Oh, yeah. That's why MTV was just amazing.
You could sit there as a 12-year-old kid, and this is way better. At the time, you know, probably parents frowned upon it, but it's way better than sitting on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
You're just watching videos, and it's like you didn't know what was going to come on next.
No.
You know what's crazy is, like, now you can just, like, cue up all the songs you want to listen to, and then you do know what's coming up next. It's really cool.
Night Ranger.
Oh.
Sister Christian.
Oh, well, that was 83?
Yeah. You know, and their singer, it turns out, current singer, lives about 45 minutes south of here, South Whidbey.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was at an establishment this week in town, and they were playing Night Ranger, and the bartender, I said, yeah, the lead singer lives in Whidbey. And she's like, no way.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Ozzy, Bark at the Moon.
Oh, I love that one.
ZZ Top, Eliminator. Like, you talk about all those songs for ZZ Top. Legs, Got Me Under Pressure, Sharp Dress Man, Give Me All Your Lovin'.
So, like, pretty much if I name a ZZ Top song that I know, it's on that album.
Correct.
Kiss, Lick It Up.
Yep.
Okay. You got Dio, Holy Diver, down here. I'm like, if there was one song, it's either that or Motley Crue. I forget what the song was at this point. Like, before a football game, like, that was on my playlist. Like, you know,
Holy Diver was too.
Yeah. Like, I could choose my songs and then I would know what was coming and I would play it so I could get myself jacked and ready to go. It was awesome.
So, Ronnie James Dio is, some people consider him the greatest rock singer of all time.
So, that was the name of the album.
Holy Diver.
Yeah. He did have an eponymously named album, though, I believe, at one point, too. But that's not that one.
Do you know there's a statue of him in, like, Hungary?
Whoa. Now, he was originally a part of Black Sabbath, correct?
He was, I don't know if he replaced Ozzy, but when Ozzy left Black Sabbath, at some point, Dio sang for them. Dio was also in a band called Rainbow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he was, I can listen to Dio all day.
Yeah. And then also Madonna's debut album.
Oh, man.
Holiday, Lucky Star, Borderline. Like, you remember watching Madonna on MTV in 1983, 84?
Oh, my God.
My mental images of Madonna is her looking pretty old.
Well,
this is 40 years ago. So she's 25.
Yeah. And do you remember kids at school dressing like Madonna?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Scandalous.
Huey Lewis in the News, sports. I still love Huey Lewis in the News. I Want a New Drug. What else is on there?
So he was in a movie where he was in a like the National Karaoke Championship. And I cannot think of the name of the movie. But Huey Lewis was the greatest karaoke singer ever.
I followed him in a pro-am for golf, my dad and I in Beaverton.
Oh, my God.
It was Huey Lewis and Peterman from Seinfeld. and one pro. And we just fought, and they talked to us. And he talked just like in Seinfeld, too.
The Heart of Rock and Roll.
Heart of Rock and Roll.
And The Power of Love.
Yeah. And The Power of Love was on there?
No, I'm just saying those were two other songs.
Oh, yeah. Because that was for Back to the Future.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Billy Idol, Rebel Yell.
Oh, that's on the Innocent Man album?
No, that's Billy Joel.
Oh, sorry, I was looking ahead.
And I think that the Billy Joel album,
The Innocent Man.
Uptown Girl.
Yep.
Do you remember that video?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's wearing like a car mechanic. What do you call those things that they wear? You know?
So overalls?
Yes, there you go.
Billy Joel, doo-wop. Yeah.
And then Bryan Adams.
Oh.
Cuts Like a Knife. And I think maybe Run to You. I love Run. I love a good Run to You.
I played it
yesterday on the way down to Holly and Megan's.
We got a few more on there. You know, Men at Work from down in Australia, mm-hmm. right?
REM's debut.
Which I think Swap's a big REM fan, right?
Not really a big REM fan. No, nope. Nope.
So, hey, speaking of, a book came out. We were going to maybe buy you. It's a biography from Geddy Lee. And Kelly said on the way home today, do you think he would burn that?
So, you know what? The more I learn about Rush, they seem like good guys. I just don't like the way their music sounds.
I know.
It's got a distinct sound that is at like an amplitude and frequency that just disturbs my nervous system.
You know, they're probably to me like Dave Matthews Band. I do not like them at all.
I agree.
None of their songs, when I listen to it, it sounds like someone with ears actually produced. Like even their one Crash, I keep like waiting for the like main part that would be like the catchy part. And
there's
it never
no catchy
happens.
Part.
No, it's, no. It's like they're a bad jam band.
They're not toe tappers.
Oh no.
And people like Dave Matthews, and you know, on the Sirius XM radio, you know, Lithium is my favorite channel. And Dave Matthews will come on there.
I know.
And I'm just like, that is the worst thing when you're on a drive.
You know what I was recalling over break was that remember when we had not Spotify, it was the other one that you could like make like Pandora. I don't think that anyone has this anymore. We've like regressed in technology. Pandora used to be able to select multiple artists or songs to create a radio station from.
Yes.
Does that feature exist anywhere anymore?
Well, Spotify will do like your daily mix.
Yeah, but they've just kind of chose. Like, you don't get to pick that.
No, but Pandora, you can do like your channel.
Yeah. Does that still exist on Pandora?
Does Pandora still exist?
I don't know.
What does Spotify do for you that Pandora didn't?
I mean, they do a good job of making playlists. That
yeah, so you can find a playlist like your genre or something you love.
They might call them hand-curated playlists.
And okay. Then the podcasts.
Yeah.
Apparently podcasts are a big deal now.
Everyone? I'll be damned.
I mean, that's a great year.
It's a great year. And it, you know, and if I meant to hit 93.
I know.
And just think, what else do we have in 83? There's
more. I don't have any more.
I mean, you didn't say the Eurythmics.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Dreams are made at Sweet Dreams.
And I'm not like a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, but like Texas
Flood
is
album,
good.
Right?
Texas
Flood. Debut album?
I know some people just love Stevie Ray Vaughan. Obviously, I really great
like
guitarist.
So I like him.
He's a great guitarist.
Oh,
I just don't.
Don't listen to his music a lot.
I didn't find a lot of it catchy. Like maybe it's a kind of a toe tapper, but nothing that's going to get stuck in my head. Yeah. We got anything else we want to add in there?
Well, remember you can email us.
I'm sure we're going to get blown up.
The listeners.
Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, ooh. Which somebody might need to fact check this, but I think that was written by the guy that wrote all of Meatloaf songs. Jim Steinman.
Wow. Your ability to just pull a random name out of nowhere always impresses me.
Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream.
Did I say David Bowie's Let's Dance?
Oh, my God.
And then, so it's China Girl, Modern Love, and Let's Dance.
Oh, I got one for you that's going to blow your mind. Eddie Grant, Electric Avenue.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
I know. That's God.
Have you heard that song, Ruck?
I don't know if I have. It sounds kind of familiar.
Oh, that's a great song.
Did we say the safety dance? Men
Without
Hats? 5 minutes
at work. No, I love that one.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the heyday of MTV.
Yeah.
We used to come home after school and run home and press the box and sit there and watch MTV.
That was the beauty of MTV is it was just like, it wasn't just like metal or pop. It was everything.
And you had the MTV VJs.
I love the VJs.
And now they're still on Sirius. So like Classic Rewind, it's got all those guys. Alan Hunter, Mark Goodman. These guys were all on MTV for 20 years, 15 years. And they're still now.
I think that you guys should still do that. You should, as soon as you get done with school, run home, turn your TV on, and you should just find a YouTube channel or a playlist that has music videos and not know what's on it and just run it. See what happens. See if you're into it.
I did like a 2-hour YouTube rabbit hole last night after the UFC fights.
Nice.
And it's just awesome. And YouTube will kind of do that for you, what we were talking about, where it'll start to kind of like curate something out of the ether that is in your wheelhouse.
Like, you might not know this about me, but I'm a big NFL draft fan. Oh. I love the draft.
Have you been?
No. That would be a dream of mine. Actually, I've been to where the MLB draft was happening last year because it was at Safeco. Well, it was technically in the Seahawks stadium, but the setup was cool. Anyways, no, at some point I would love to go, but I was bringing that up.
Sorry, Prince, Little Red Corvette. And do you remember Taco putting on the Ritz?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, my gosh. That was a big MTV
so
thing.
What I actually
remember that song, Putting on the Ritz, yeah.
I just looked at albums and didn't look at songs.
I'm looking at songs right now. Yeah. A lot of Lionel Richie.
Dancing on the Ceiling all Night Long.
I think All Night Long, but not Dancing on the Ceiling. I think that was later. Man. The Stray Cats. You remember the Stray Cats?
No. So how old were you guys in 83?
12.
Oh, this is what you were saying earlier about Metallica?
Okay.
I was 8.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you were old enough to listen to most of this music.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember, all of it. And just from there on, like 83 on, is when MTV came, and then just taking over listening to music and watching videos. Because videos were a big deal. If you were on if you had a video on MTV,
you're big time.
Yeah.
Well, we ready for a break before we unveil our beer of the week?
Yep.
All right. Welcome back to The View from the Rock. We're here in the Yellow Dog Studios, and we are about to talk about our beer of the week. Our beer of the week is from Backcountry Brewing, found in Little Squamish, BC.
Ooh.
And it is called the Citra and Strata Pale Ale.
International flavor.
Yes. I believe this is our second beer.
Oh, from Canada. That's right.
The other one was the one Tara brought us.
Yes.
The raspberry
zero?
Yes.
Whatever it is.
So in other words, this is our first real beer from Canada.
First real beer from Canada. Now, Thank you, Jake and Kylie Cummings.
We didn't get anything from like Victoria at one point or anything, did we?
No.
Oh, man.
Not yet.
Sorry, that was at a sore subject. You guys didn't make it over there, did you?
No.
You mean for the White Buffalo?
Yeah.
No. I've never been to Victoria.
What?
I've never been to Victoria. It's like 20 miles as the crow flies.
Yeah. And our ferry used to go there.
Well, now there's no ferry, so it's hard to...
So
Tutu
just went there. She went up.
All the way.
And then the Tawasin ferry.
Yeah, you got to drive up to Tawasin and take the ferry. It's hard to get to.
We could make it in 45 minutes from here.
In a boat.
In a boat.
Yeah.
If that ever opens up, I want to go back there. I only remember going when I was a kid, so I don't know.
So they're going to have a CFL regular season game in Victoria this year.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't have a team. They're just playing there?
Where do you play?
Well, there's a field.
Yes. That holds 5,000?
I think it does hold like 8,000. Uh-huh. But the BC Lions are going to play there.
Wow.
I love Canadian football.
Well, we used to go, our eighth grade field trip was always to Victoria.
And you took the ferry?
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
We'd Butcher Art Gardens, hang out for the day, and take the ferry back.
High tea?
They had a wax museum.
Oh, I love a good wax museum.
Oh, yeah. That was my first time. This is 1989. So.
I'll be damned.
I don't think it would be Madame Tussauds.
Madame Tussauds?
Whatever.
Tussauds?
Madame Tussauds?
Maybe.
Sounds French. Not interested.
Back to the beer.
Yeah. Can you tell me about this beer that we're going to be drinking?
Yes. So it's a little place called Squamish. A little windy, a place where the beer flows like wine, where adventure seekers instinctively flock like the salmon of the Howe Sound.
Ooh.
I'm talking about a little place called Squamish.
Now, that's got to be a shout-out to Dumb and Dumber, right?
Well, I would think, but if you look at their website, they have some amazing names of beers that are seasonal. Like, and supposedly this one right now that we're drinking is sold out.
Oh. So it might actually be good.
So it's a 5.5% ABV. And Swap, what does ABV mean again?
Alcohol by volume.
And the IBU is 25.
And is that high?
That's low.
That's low. So,
but just remember, while IBU is a scale, bitterness is, what would be the word for it? Subjective. So it's not a perfect scale for bitterness.
This is one of the most beautiful cans I've ever seen.
Yes. There's great photos.
There's an eagle. There's a marina. There's a bridge. There's a logging truck.
It looks like pictures from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like the year Ruck was born.
And it looks like their logo is like a kerosene lantern.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we might have to go do a road trip.
To Squamish.
Let's do it.
And we can go a little farther and go right to Whistler.
So Untappd gives it a 3.98 out of 5, and there's only been 101 check-ins. So this is from Untappd. This hazy pale ale was brewed with Citra and Strata hops. We've dialed back the hopping rate on some of our seasonal pails as of late to offer a more sessionable beer.
Ooh.
This beer has a lovely, soft, citrus character, expressing the orange that is characteristic of Citra, as well as some dark strawberry notes from the accompanying Strata.
That almost brought a tear to my eye.
That's beautiful.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
So,
and
Ruck has already poured.
Ruck has already poured, and it is.
But it looks like a hazy IPA.
It looks like a hazy IPA.
It is a dark, pulpy looking orange beer.
It's.
And sessionable, by the way, if you don't know what that means, listeners, it means that you can, because it's only 5.5% lower alcohol, you can drink more of them in one session. That would be kind of the reason why it's called sessionable.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So have we talked about that ever?
I don't think we've talked about
that. So like a session IPA is more lighter?
Yeah, they tend to be lighter, lower alcohol.
So you can have like more than... Two.
Well, who makes the all-day IPA? Is that Rubens? Somebody makes one called the all-day IPA.
Yeah.
And it's a session because you can drink it all day.
Mm.
And, you know, when you go over, like, Europe, specifically, like, in the UK, like, England, they really like to have their session IPAs. And a lot of their IPAs are just low alcohol anyways, like 5%, sometimes 4.5%, because they like to, in the middle of their work day, go off with their workmates to a bar and have a couple beers with lunch and then go back to work. Doesn't that sound like a refined way to live?
Yeah. And they take siestas.
That's Spain, but yeah.
Well, still. I know it's in Spain. I'm just saying. What do they call it, a nap?
Yeah. They're probably knocking off. That's what
I
call
it. I can say.
All right, let's give this a try.
Ooh, look at that.
This is the Backcountry Brewing Citra and Strata Pale Ale.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I'm speechless because of how good it is. Especially it's for good. Being 5.5%. A lot of the times with the lower alcohol ones, you'll kind of get a lot of wheat flavor in it, and I don't like wheat flavor. And this is like I'm drinking orange juice or an orange Julius.
That's
a little slightly less sweet.
It's tasty.
That's super good.
Tasty.
That's a summer, maybe coming back from crabbing, maybe have some fresh crab, and I would have one of these.
I can visualize and almost taste that.
It almost tastes like a mimosa that's heavy on the orange juice. Are you getting those vibes?
It doesn't taste like it looks.
Really?
That's 100% correct. Like I'm in my mind, I'm looking at a hazy IPA, but then I'm drinking a pale ale
with some Citra.
Yes. I don't get the dark strawberry notes yet.
If I let my mind wander and tell myself I'm getting dark strawberry, I guess, but no, I don't. It's a late flavor.
Mm.
So this place looks like it's got some amazing beer.
Road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah. So how far is that from Whistler?
Not even half an hour. It's kind of like the rock climbing mecca.
Okay.
That's right. I've never been there, but I think I need to go now. And Whistler's like nice all year round, right? You don't have to just go if you're a skier during the winter.
No, summer is great in Whistler. Mountain biking, hiking.
I was going to say mountain biking. That's not me either, but yeah.
Well, even if you're not a mountain biker, you can still mountain bike. And then if you are a mountain biker, you can take the lifts up and then go down like the ski runs.
That sounds crazy.
No, those guys are crazy. There are guys in full gear, helmets, pads, slamming a beer, and then going down the mountain.
Because they have the up top, right? They have the lodge.
Yeah.
So is it still the same scenario, Whistler, Blackcomb, two different villages?
Yeah, and you can take
gondola.
Take a gondola across and then lift back down to Blackcomb. And then there's a lot of rentals and whatnot up there. It's a very nice place. Great restaurants.
Sounds like this.
So 2010, Winter Olympics.
Was it 2010?
Vancouver. And they redid the whole road up to Whistler.
Yeah, it's beautiful now. Because back in the day, I think it was two-lane highway.
Oh, yeah. I told you earlier, I've been to Whistler twice. One time, it was one-day ski trip.
Oh.
We left at 3 in the morning, got back at 9 at night.
I just don't think that'd be worth it. That'd be brutal.
My dad and his good buddy were kind of crazy then in terms of, like, sports and, like, doing, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm 19. We leave and 4-hour drive and ski for 7 hours and then come home.
Yeah, 19, not going to phase you.
This is a nice beer. This is a good beer.
It is.
You know what? Thank you, Jake and Kylie. Yeah.
Two Anacortes legends.
I mean, you guys are amazing.
Yeah.
And they must have got this because they know that we would like this kind of a beer.
And they drove it back the same day on their way back from Whistler. They stopped at my house.
I bet that they also drank it first, too, just to make it was...
They did not.
Oh, wow.
This is a really good beer. It's a beautiful can.
It's definitely better than the first beer we got from Canada.
And, you know, if this says anything, I've never been up in that area, Squamish or Whistler, but now, like, this beer alone makes me really want to go to this brewery and go to that area. So this is a big-time beer worth having. And if it's sold out, obviously other people feel the same. I think we're ready, though, to move on to... And let's make sure we define this. This is top three sports moments, as in, like, for us, like sports memories that stand out in our mind. Like these could be bad or good.
Yeah.
It could be. And I'm also taking it as it could be my own personal, like me as an athlete.
Yeah.
I considered that. Yeah. I'm just not quite as profound or prolific as my playing career as you were probably. So
I think it could be anything.
So,
so you're welcome to add your own personal experiences. Yeah.
Oh, so I'm just looking at our notes.
Yeah.
And you rewrote.
I didn't rewrite anything. I just added mine so I don't forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see it.
No, I did not rewrite yours.
Okay. I just saw that. I'm like, oh, I didn't write that.
Do you want me to go first? I'm ready.
Go first.
All right. I put it number three, the 116 win season, the two out so what season, the... Is it still the most wins in a season?
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball by the Mariners? Really, the last good season we even had at this point, really, right?
And that was 2001?
It was.
And that was the year Safeco opened.
Safeco opened in 99, I believe.
Yeah, right? Safeco opened...
Or is it 2000?
Safeco might have opened midway through the 98 season.
Okay.
And this was also the All-Star Game year.
Yeah.
That we had that many wins. Because we had like seven guys on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And It was right after we'd gotten rid, or we'd traded Griffey, we'd traded Randy, and A-Rod had left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so at this point, we've got Ichiro, and I think it was his first season with
us. It was his rookie year.
And he ends up getting the batting title that year, right?
Yeah.
And he had the most hits.
And I think he was MVP and Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
He was MVP?
I think so. I think he was MVP and Rookie of the Year.
I'll fact check that
one. And Booney on second.
Yeah. Roided it up.
Who hit 40-something home runs and 130 RBIs as a second baseman.
Home run derby. And then we had John Allred. We had
the greatest defensive first baseman probably ever.
Really?
Yeah.
And wore a helmet when he was fielding,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that story about Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Oh, he's standing on first?
Hey, there was a guy I played with on the Mets that wore a helmet like that.
He's like, we were teammates. He's like, oh, okay. Then steal second.
Now, but it was a team that didn't have superstars. No. That Mike Cameron, one of the greatest, one of the great underrated baseball players ever.
His kid plays now.
Dex? Dez?
No. I don't know.
You had Carlos Guillen at short, David Bell at third, Dan Wilson catching.
Bell was he was third base the whole year?
Yeah.
Buddy Bell's son.
Yeah, and he's now the manager of the Reds.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How about smoking heaters, Kaz Sasaki?
Oh, Kaz Sasaki.
He made the All-Star game.
Yeah, he was good. And they had a great rotation. They had... the chief, Freddie Garcia, Aaron Seeley, Paul Abbott, yes. Jamie Moyer, John Halama.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Halama and Guillen.
From Kalama.
Came over in the Randy Johnson trade.
Garcia.
Guillen, Garcia, and Halama came over in the Randy Johnson trade. You had Stan Javier.
We still had Jay Buhner at that point.
Yes. Mark McLemore was a great utility guy on that team.
Played a lot of second for us.
And
the
bullpen was amazing. They had Arthur Rhodes and Jeff Nelson.
Yep.
And Sasaki.
Oh, Jeff.
We still had...
Jeff Nelson was good.
Yeah, we had the sheriff, too.
Norm Charlton had a great year. Mm. And his elbow was like hanging on with like paper clips and thumbtacks.
Those guys, like old school Norm...
Oh,
with Rob Dibble.
Yes. The Nasty Reds. Boys.
Oh.
Randy Myers.
I pulled up the list ready to start to say who else was on the team. So we didn't say Edgar Martinez was our DH at that point.
Oh, that's right.
Did we say Joel Pinheiro?
Joel Pinheiro.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He pitched.
I think Brett Tomko was like our long reliever.
Mm-hmm.
Was going to be a starting pitcher. I think we
Came over with Reds. Cameron from the Reds for Griffey.
And then there's a couple other random guys I feel like I recognize here. Obviously, Sweet Lou, still our manager at that point.
Man, I just loved a manager with passion.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
Now we suck.
We right suck now.
We suck. I haven't watched one inning of baseball.
I've got nothing against Scott Servais when I say that about Lou Piniella, but the Mariners right now, look, they're a mess. You hear what happened today?
No.
Julio gets a day off because he's hitting 180. Day off, mental day. They put him in a pinch run with two outs in the ninth. He gets picked off. Game over.
What?
That's not going to help his mentals.
So why is he even going in? That's blasphemy.
It is. Man, you've pulled out blasphemy and conundrum today.
Ruck didn't. He wasn't.
What's
he
wrong
wasn't
with
anticipating
you?
The conundrum.
What is wrong with you?
I've just in our hiatus. I've been reading a lot of vocabulary books.
I was expecting something intelligent like literature, you might say, but no. Vocabulary books.
Who else was on that team? did you pull that?
I got it. I'll, there's a few more that I didn't say.
I think you said 20 guys.
You did. Ryan Franklin.
Ryan Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Fuentes. I don't remember him much.
I don't remember Brian Fuentes. I think he was a left-handed pitcher.
Jose Paniagua?
Yeah, Jose Paniagua. He had a couple good years out of the pen.
We had a Denny Stark.
Yeah. He was kind of a spot starter.
Yeah.
In there.
No.
Ooh, Pat Borders, backup catcher.
Pat Borders.
I remember all those names, actually.
Well, Borders won a ring with Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good team,
They had
man.
Carter back then. Is that when he won it?
Yeah, Borders on that team with Joe Carter.
94?
That was 90. I'm trying to think. Or 93? I was in college. 93? Yeah. 94? 95? 93.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
So I got some few more for you. Tom Lampkin.
Left-handed hitting catcher from the Seattle area.
Yep. Ed Sprague Jr.
So, fun fact, when I was in spring break, my
wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, spring break, my sophomore year of high school, my grandpa was a scout for the Brewers, and I went down to visit him in California, and we went to a Stanford game, and he was scouting Ed Sprague.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
Ramon Vasquez. I don't remember that
utility infielder.
Yeah, that's correct. Remember Charlie Gibson?
Or Charles
Gibson?
I remember that.
Yes, he was the pinch runner. He would come in and run for somebody late in the game.
Yeah. He's also on ABC. Charles Gibson.
Nice. Did you say Al Martin?
Al Martin. You remember him falsifying his resume? He said he said he played football at USC.
Never did.
And it was false. But he had a really good run as a left-handed hitter for the Pirates. Yep. They brought him over. He didn't play well for the Mariners.
I don't remember this name. Gene Kingsale?
Eugene.
Yeah, that sounds more familiar, Eugene.
Yeah.
Scott Podsednik.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a nice run with the White Sox.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Sanders. I don't recognize that
Anthony
one.
Sanders. All I can think about is Reggie Sanders. Remember him?
Yep.
Left fielder, played on multiple teams, would be like a 25 home run guy.
Yeah.
On a different team every year.
Yeah, there we go. You know, we did not make it to the World Series that year, obviously. I think we lost to the Cleveland, now Guardians, formerly Indians, didn't we?
We lost to the Yankees.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I went to a playoff game.
Lost to the Yankees. That's correct.
The playoff game I went to that year was the one where Roger Clemens pitched. Do you guys remember this game? And he buzzed A-Rod in the first inning, and the game was over right then. Like, he buzzed A-Rod. And
bench is cleared.
I think he one hit us. I think Al Martin actually had the only hit, and I think he struck out 13 or 14 guys. Benches didn't clear. He just buzzed A-Rod, and A-Rod was done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it from that team. Who's got next?
I'll go. So, UW winning the Natty in 91 was fun. And just being able to go to all the games. And just tie that with our run this year.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
This year was awesome.
We had so much fun this year.
I would be tempted to say also this year was a top highlight for me. Like, just that was it the Oregon game? The second time where we went for it on our own side of the field and did the reverse. Was that the
second? Oh, that was the Apple Cup.
That was the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good memories during
the
season.
But just the whole, and back then, you know, we had two different poles, but just the dominance and then also being a part of being around. You know, I was at UW hanging out a little bit. Ross was there, saw him. But just seeing those guys, like Napoleon Kaufman's in the elevator when I'm in the elevator. And Lincoln Kennedy, Soup Mala Mala, Don Jones, Steve Entman. All of them. There's 20 guys you can name.
And I was at Green River playing baseball then. And one of my buddies who lived in the apartment complex with us was really good friends with Mark Bruner. So Mark Bruner would show up at our apartment every once in a while, and we'd be like, hey, you guys going to win it all?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, Bruner.
Tight end, right?
Yep. Yeah, he was now a stud.
His son plays for UW, right?
Aaron Pierce. Mm. Walter Jones.
Billy Joe Hobert.
Wait, what? Walter Jones?
Walter Bailey.
Walter Bailey, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I recognize that name. Therefore, no, it's not right.
Palcoa.
Yeah.
From Marysville.
Marysville.
Shane Palcoa was a freak. Safety. He's like 88 grad.
Yeah, and he was in basketball. We'd play them in spring league when I was like a sophomore.
Oh, they were so good. They
were
then.
Good.
Oh, they were good.
And he was just
late 80s Marysville teams were good.
Loaded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas, no, Marysville's terrible.
Yep.
And Palco was so athletic.
Yeah. And then you had, I played with a guy, Brent Montague. He was 91 grad, too. They had a bunch of people.
You played with him at Skagit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Cleland later? Cam Cleland?
So he was 93, same year as me, Wooly.
Okay. And he's Portland Sports Radio now, right?
He is, and they hate him. But it's funny because he was the biggest wuss in high school.
He could hit a baseball.
I know. But he ended up going in the NFL.
Yeah.
Saints. For years.
Yeah.
He had a great career.
Did you ever hear his story about when, who was his coach then?
It was,
legendary.
Ditka?
Yeah, Ditka was coaching, and they did a rookie hazing.
Sounds familiar.
And they had to walk through, they had to crawl on all fours, and guys had soap in a sock, and they'd hit you. And hit his eye, and he said, "I never recovered."
Oh my!
I mean, that's old school.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just kind of pointless.
Yeah,
huh?
So, and he, but we were just talking about him because Raymond.
Yeah.
Oh, that they were so good.
Their baseball team was so loaded.
Oh, Ashley.
Ashley was the best high school player I think I've ever seen.
And Raymond, 6'7", 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Damn. Okay, is it my turn?
Yep, number three for you.
What am I going to go with here? So it's memorable, right? So it doesn't have to be good?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, you know where I'm going then.
Yeah.
Run the damn ball.
So, Ruck?
That's my number one.
Oh, okay. Let's stop talking about it, and we'll talk about it when we get to your one.
All right, we can do that.
Yep.
Well, so my number two then is winning the Super Bowl. Does anyone have that down? Oh, you have that for your number two as well, so we can just talk about that.
You can talk about it, and I'll say yes. I cried.
Winning it?
Yeah, because Kelly said I was making the list.
Didn't you
run? Are you going to talk about crying?
Didn't you run up D Avenue?
I did.
With your shirt off?
To go up to Andy's.
Yeah.
And then we hugged and everyone, because, you know, we stopped watching together.
What?
No, like, we were not going to have a big party.
Yeah.
So, like, the NFC Championship game, we have, like, eight people. The same eight people, and the same with Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, we're not having a big party. I don't want a big party.
You want to watch
the
game.
When the Seahawks are in. Yeah.
You want to watch the game.
Yeah, it's like, no one's coming over. Just my family, you know, immediate family, and that's how it was. And then we met up and after the game.
It was a great day.
Ruck, how did you feel?
I mean, I watch football games, specifically the Seahawks, in sort of a cone of silence. Even when I'm by myself, I don't speak. I don't yell. I'm just, like, locked in. And that's why I don't like watching Seahawks with other people. I don't want anyone talking. I don't want to hear anything. I want to focus. And so I watched it at my parents' house. And like really quickly, I was dancing. I was jumping and yelling, and it was fantastic.
And they dominated that.
From the start.
When Bam Bam
hit Demaryius Thomas?
Across
rest
the
in
middle.
Peace. That game was over. Done. Like, they were afraid. And I did not expect that coming in. I was like, we're pretty good, but man, Peyton Manning, they seem unstoppable.
And then Percy Harvin runs it back.
Yeah.
So then my cousin Andy buys a Percy Harvin jersey.
Then he played like one more snap. Yeah.
No, that was it.
He was a wreck.
It was white. He still has it.
I own a Jesse Winker Mariners jersey.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it's a long story.
I have a Pearl Jam Mariners jersey.
Somebody wore a Pearl Jam Mariners jersey to school the other day.
Yes. And I told him, I said, that's amazing.
So I don't have the mid-90s Sonics on my list anywhere.
I know. But I don't either. But like the 96 team.
When McCready and Vetter were in the first row every game.
Yeah, and, you know, we ran into Jordan and the Bulls. That was a good-ass team.
That was a good team. The problem was we fell down 3-0.
Yeah.
We needed to win a game. We needed to win the first game in Seattle. Damn it.
Yeah, I shouldn't have a lot of memories of that. Like, I remember watching the Sonics, and I almost thought about putting the Sonics leaving as a memory. But that was protracted and long enough that...
It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant played 1 year. He loves it here.
Dude, I mean, we... Yeah.
And we drafted Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Do you see that stuff in there, too?
Do you see all the sediment?
Yes.
In the bottom of that beer?
No, I got it, too.
Yeah, dead yeast. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
No, that's a good beer. That was a great beer.
That was a great beer.
Thank you, Kylie and Jake.
So, yeah, that was, like, the only thing that I've really ever won in watching sports. So, like, that was a big deal. And I feel like, you know, we didn't go into that season feeling like we were good. But I don't know. It was the defense, and we weren't sure what we were going to get from our offense other than Marshawn Lynch.
Well, the previous year, you remember, that was the previous year was the year that we had Matt Flynn come in to be quarterback. We drafted Russell in the fifth round.
Yep.
And you could see some of the – I think he was fifth round.
I think it was like second or third. But I'll fact check it right now.
We can fact check it. But you could see some of that building the year before. But you're right. It wasn't like we're going to win the
Super Bowl. And Flynn came from Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we traded for him, didn't we?
Yeah.
We gave up maybe like a second or something.
So just real quick.
Yeah.
Ruck, we got draft coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Seahawks take Penix.
Russell Wilson was the 75th pick, so third round. We should not take Penix with the 16th pick.
I think we should.
He won't be available.
I don't know if he'll...
Do you think there's going to be six quarterbacks taken before 16th pick?
No, I'm saying I don't know if he'll get drafted in the first round. I think that there's going to be maybe four quarterbacks drafted in the top five, but I don't know if anyone will get drafted after that. There's definitely going to be three in the top five, for sure.
There'll be four, and then there's left is going to be Bo Nix and Penix.
That's what they make it sound like, but I wouldn't be surprised if some teams up there decide that they want to wait, because after the top three or four, depending on who you think, like I feel like the rest of them have a lot of questions. I mean, even after the first one, I feel like the rest of them have questions.
I think the number one pick in the draft is going to be a flop.
I think that
he sucked.
I think it's because of the Bears. I think the Bears suck. They have no idea what they're doing.
Well, they're going to take Rome too.
That would be awful.
Caleb and Rome.
Do the Bears have two first round picks?
Yes,
first and ninth.
And they traded Fields, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to take a quarterback.
They're going to take Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Who I think is shit.
I think Fields might be better.
You know.
And then Rome at number nine. Because Marvin Harrison's going before him.
I think that Caleb Williams is pretty good. I think that not this last season, but the season before, he was incredible. I think that he had a worse season this year, but the people around him were much worse. You know, whenever teams played him, they were just getting free rushers at him. It's pretty hard to be good when you can't protect the quarterback. So I think he's got a lot of talent, but I think any quarterback can be ruined by the system and environment they get put into. And the Bears have, if anything, showed consistently throughout their history, they do not support quarterbacks very well.
Okay, where are we at in this list?
Number one.
I think we're still number two.
You're on number two.
Am I on number two?
Oh, yeah, we did Super Bowl.
Okay, so my number two is the NFC Championship game. The year the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Sherman.
Oh,
that's a good call.
In the corner, tipping the pass, and then interview.
Yes, in the interview. And do you remember how much everybody hated the Niners?
Oh,
Harbaugh, Kaepernick, Crabtree.
God, it was so, like, that was.
I still hate them.
It was.
It was so.
It was awesome.
I have goosebumps right now.
I do too.
It was breathtaking, Ruck.
When you come at me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's what you're going to get.
Oh, and he's just yelling at Aaron Andrews.
She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Oh, I know.
And the Niners were so good.
They would have won.
They were so good. Kaepernick was so good.
Yeah, he was. And he got blackballed.
He did.
100%.
He was so good.
He was so good. Like when you're an opposing team facing him as a fan,
yeah.
he is scary.
Man, you know what it's like though, as a coach, when you've got people that don't listen to what you tell them to do? Nothing drives me crazier than that. Like, I remember a coach told me once that you can lose. Wow, how do you say it? Basically, you can lose with a lot of different guys. So you might as well lose with guys you want to coach, sort of something like that. It was a lot better said than that. But like a guy like Kaepernick, I don't know. Like, that sucks that he got blackballed. But
who was their running back? Was it Frank Gore? God, they were good. And Harbaugh was just at the peak of his, like, arrogant Harbaugh-ness.
Yes.
And they just had a dominating offensive line.
Well, didn't the year before they make it to the Super Bowl?
I think they did. I think that's the year they played the Ravens.
And lost.
Yes, I think.
I mean, that must have been, because then we went to the next two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, Ruck.
Well, yeah, number one for me was that next Super Bowl. I still remember. I don't know why. You know, if we just talked about not wanting to be around a lot of people for the game, I went over to Sam Guzik's house, and there was just like four of us there watching the game. And this is the Seahawks Super Bowl loss. And, you know, I thought we were going to do it. We're driving down the field, and they throw the interception, which I'm not a guy who's like, they should have ran the ball. I'm not saying what they should have done. I'm saying I don't think that we can make that call. But immediately, as soon as they picked it, I just didn't say anything, and I just walked out of the house. I just went home.
Morgie, do you remember coming to my house that morning at like 8:30?
Yes.
In my old house.
Yes.
And then
wasn't that the first year?
It
was the first year, and then we met and we hung out at your Furcrest house.
Then we went to Rod's.
Yes, and this is where like they had on like Cantrell,
yeah,
and Duff McKagan, and they're talking about it, and we went and just pre-funked. We went and had beers at your house at like 9. Then we went to Rod's, and then
God.
That was the day after?
No, it was the first Super Bowl, though, where we were so excited. We went and partied before the game and then drove. And then we all went
day
our
of
separate
the game?
Way, separate
gotcha.
Ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that second game, that second year, I'm sitting down here. It's my family and my parents only. Well, Rachel Parkinson, at the time, she does Jello shots at Andy's. So they're hanging out because they're doing their thing like they always do. So they bring down like 25 Jello shots to our house before the game, and then they leave. My mom has a few. So what is a few? What's the definition of a few?
Three.
Okay, then what's more than three?
Many.
Four.
Okay. Well, mini sounds like you could have 10.
More than was advisable.
So more than a few.
Several?
She had several.
Yeah, I like several.
So we're at that point where he throws the interception. She's not watching currently. She's like, her head's kind of down a little bit. And then I yell the worst words possible. She goes, "What happened?" I go, "We just lost the game." And she starts crying. Rowan starts crying, and Brennan starts crying because Grandma's crying. And I walk outside and I take a glass and I shatter it on my cement wall.
That's what sports are all about.
And that was it.
Oh my gosh.
So do you remember just immediately prior to all of that, Jermaine Kearse made the most incredible catch.
Oh, that's what I was going to bring up.
In the history of football.
If we win the Super Bowl, that's a top five Super Bowl catch of all time.
Yes. It's like
Lynn Swann. And now it's unheard of. Remember he was on the ground?
And it tipped and it fell and he reached and he caught it. And they had the guy, the CFL guy that never played, that caught a touchdown, I believe. I think his name was Matthews.
Yeah, Chris Matthews.
Oh.
He's like 6'4", 6'5".
That was one of the greatest catches of all time.
So after that catch, they give it to Marshawn. He gets shoe tackled and falls down at the one. But we're going to win the game.
We should. We should have.
Oh.
And their thinking is, what, it's second down at this point?
And there was this whole timeout thing.
And the time is running?
Time is running. We had one timeout.
Was that Malcolm Butler?
It was.
And he just jumped it right from the get-go. It's just, that ruined it all. I think if we win, if it goes differently, Russell never leaves. Sherman never leaves.
We win four.
Maybe.
We become a dynasty. Yeah.
And then what happened to Earl Thomas?
There was a lot of things that happened to Earl Thomas. Oh, my gosh.
Is he alive?
Yes, he is alive.
Okay.
There is, yeah.
So I'm being selfish on my number one. So it was something that I experienced with going to Pacific and basketball and being in the best team in our school history. And
the Boxers.
And being inducted into our Hall of Fame. That was my best sports moment.
So is it the being inducted part, or is it being
no,
the actual
that wasn't,
team part?
No, the team part was, you know, we weren't supposed to be very good. We were projected, like, the coaches' preseason poll were like 8, and then we won the league. And then at one point we're ranked number 4 in the nation. And we make it to the national tournament. It's in Nampa, where the home of where Swap went.
Northwest Nazarene.
Yeah. That was the greatest sporting event that nobody ever knew about.
Yeah.
Was the NAI Division II national tournament in Nampa.
But then we lost to the College of the Ozarks. And then now you watch the show Ozarks, and I'm like, oh, my God, we lost to the team that's from there. They shot 70% from 3.
Was that your first game there?
Second.
So who'd you beat the first game?
We beat a team called Husson from Maine.
Yeah, they were there every year.
Maine. Like, you get to travel from Maine. That's got to be awesome. We're traveling from Oregon to Idaho.
Yeah,
it sucked. Lame. I wanted to go like Midwest,
yeah,
or somewhere,
and to go to little Nampa too.
But like, we actually stayed in Boise, yeah. And then just drove. But it was super fun. I mean, just the experiences, and you've met all the guys. And
yeah,
just lifetime of fun.
That's what it's all about. I mean, yeah. That is what it's all about, and that's why you play sports.
Yeah.
Is you get on a team. Where it's just magic.
And everything happened. And
yeah.
We just like came together and we had a plan. And we had fun both on and off the court. It was fun. It was amazing. It was awesome. So that's my number one.
I can't top that. But I'm going to give you my number one. 95 Mariners. Edgar's double.
Oh. I remember where I was sitting.
Where were you?
We were in study hall for basketball. And coach is like, I'm like, coach, I have good grades. He's like, it's mandatory. I go, okay. Well, then I'm bringing a radio in because the Mariners are playing right now. So Sean and I had the Mariners on in Wendell.
Mm.
And we're jumping around the study hall when Griffey scored.
It was amazing. You know, Joey Cora starts the inning with a little bunt down the first baseline, and he almost runs out of the baseline to avoid a tag. Not quite. And Griffey hits a ball, next hitter. Off the bat, I think it's a double play ball, but it scoots past whoever the Yankee second baseman was.
Was it Chuck Knobloch?
might have been. I wanted to say Randy Velarde. So it's first and third, and then Jack McDowell throws Edgar a splitter, and he freaking bangs it into the corner.
Oh, and Griffey comes around.
Yeah.
And knee, Dave's just...
I was living on 34th Street, and we were just going nuts.
God, that was so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, when's the next time we're going to see the Mariners in the playoffs? Not this year.
They look broken right now.
We haven't even started.
Hey, you know what my motto is?
We're 10 games in. Normally your motto happens in June.
What's my motto?
Prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah.
We're already disappointed, and it's April 14th.
I think there is something about our stadium where it is very difficult to hit. And I think at the start of the year when the sun is lower in the sky, it's difficult to see. And I think our hitters start every year struggling because of it.
So does that mean that they need to just close the stadium roof?
I think they should close the roof.
I don't know why they don't consider that kind of stuff. Like, they open it surely based on the weather, not whether it helps the team or not.
What do I know? I'm a lowly high school baseball coach.
Well, you know, it seems like every year.
A lowly.
Spring Hall of Fame inductee.
300 and, I want to make this up, 317 wins.
I'm not even going to say. But I do know from coaching high school baseball here in the Northwest that early in the year, it's tough to see. The sun is lower in the sky. Even if the sun is not in your eyes, there's glare. There's all kinds of issues. I think they should close the roof.
I got a connection. Let's see if I can suggest that. You know, I think spring training is the best time of the year for the Mariners. It's optimism. Hope springs eternal.
Well, that's the best time for every team. Like, wow. They even say it. Like, David Sampson is a guy that I listen to on a podcast. And he, what used to be the executive for the Marlins. And he's like, it's the greatest day. First opening day is the greatest day for every team in the world because they think they're going to be good.
Hope springs eternal.
And we're already, what, 2 weeks? And now the motto has already come out. That's never come out this early.
They're broken.
In 15 years, I've never heard prepare to be disappointed in April.
Yes.
It's been end of May or June.
I mean, the problem for me is most of the time when I go to turn the game on, I've already seen the score, and I'm like, well, I'm not watching that game. And so I don't even bother. I think I watched the first game of the year. That was it. So I have my own mantra that I got from my grandma, and that is, I think I shared with you the other day, I'm not watching them right now because I'm mad at them.
I'm not watching them right now because I'm mad at them.
He'd say, hey, Graham, did you see the game last night? No, I'm not watching them. Why not? I'm mad at them. That's all I need. I'm mad at them.
Hey, we got NBA playoffs coming up. We got
postseason, I mean, end of the year track and baseball.
Yeah.
So we need to put it on the table here. One more episode before we'll figure it out in the next couple weeks.
Honestly, once we get to postseason, it's actually easier because we're not doing stuff on the weekends for track. I don't know if that's the way it is for baseball.
We're always doing something.
Oh, yeah. Hey, real quick, I forgot a shout out to all my pickleball buddies.
Oh, I went and played pickleball with Morgie on a Sunday like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I am next to Morgie, the youngest guy there. And I'm a fit 52-year-old man. These 70-year-old men kicked my ass.
There was a couple.
They just killed me in pickleball.
Oh.
And they were frustrated.
And they're
with
nice.
Me. They're nice.
But they're nice. Yeah.
Most of them were.
Yeah.
Who makes it worse?
No, but they're, because they're trying to give them pointers. But, yeah. So, shout out to Maddie and Adam and Derek. They played today. I didn't get to play. But it's going to be fun. We got 3 tournaments coming up. Sign Dog and I are signed up for 2 of them. in May and June.
Wow.
You got any concerts coming up?
So, yes. Monday night is Black Crowes.
Like?
In 2 days.
That Monday's tomorrow.
Okay, so 1 day. I'm still thinking Saturday, maybe. No. Yes, so Swappy and I and Josh and Brad were all going to go, but then baseball got in the way and lacrosse.
So who's going now?
So Matt Rue.
Yeah, Matt's a good man.
Rui.
Yep.
So we had fun in
Chelan.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then their buddy, Rob Thomas, who is not the lead singer of
Matchbox 20.
Correct. That's nice. What they say.
Okay.
So we're staying at Rui's house in Sammamish.
You guys are going to have a good time. Black Crowes, we saw 2 summers ago.
Yeah.
They were great.
Oh, and they have a new album. So the set list came out. Brad, of course, found it.
Yeah.
And they're going to play some new stuff, but they end with, like, She Talks to Angels, Hard to Handle, and Remedy.
Oh.
Ah, they're so good.
They're good. They're good. And their front man, he is the true front man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. They put on a great show. Dirty Honey opened for them. They were amazing. I don't know who's opening for them tomorrow. I've got coming up in July, going to see Cake.
Oh, yeah.
And
love Cake.
Zero.
Oh.
And yeah. The Stones.
Two separate concerts.
Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
When?
The night after Cake at SoFi.
Oh.
Oh, so you guys did the double whammy?
Yes.
You didn't tell me about
the Stones.
We
pulled the trigger.
You're going to L.A.
Yes.
Yeah, for Cake.
We're seeing Cake and Costa Mesa and then the Stones the next night at SoFi.
You and Kelsey?
Me and Coach Jack.
You and Coach Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelsey doesn't want to see Cake.
I was going to say your work wife.
Kelsey doesn't want
to
see Cake.
Well, when I say, Kelly, do you want to go to Black Crowes? No. Just go with your friends. I'm like, okay. Do you want to see this band? No. Oh, hey, I have one coming up. Pearl Jam.
Oh.
When is that?
May 4th.
Oh.
Where?
May the 4th be with you.
Vancouver.
Damn.
Or I think it's 6th, because they play Saturday, Monday. We couldn't get tickets for Seattle, so their album comes out this week, the whole album. So they played that new song, Dark Matter,
yeah,
that I played for you.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Kelly, and then you couldn't go because of baseball, so Josh and Nicole are going.
Damn.
And then Brad and Heather have both shows.
Oh, wow.
Of course they do.
Yeah, and they're staying for 4 days up in Vancouver. So driving up and then driving home.
So we also have, even though I haven't bought tickets yet, potentially the White Buffalo June 5th in Tacoma.
So I told my sister, they said we get a free pass to stay at their house on June 5th.
Let's do it.
So their house is 26 minutes from the venue.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm in.
Here in the podcast.
Bam.
They're going to go see the White Buffalo.
Shakalaka.
All righty. Well, you know, we finally got back at it. We recorded an episode of the View from the Rock podcast. No guarantees when the next one will be, but we guarantee that there will be a next one.
Soon.
Until next time, take care.